So I love beautiful things. I mean, I really love beauty. I used that as a line with my wife on Valentine's Day. I said, I'm preaching about beauty this week, but enough about you. So I got a compliment in as well as preparing a sermon. Not bad at all. I'm sure most of us would say that we love beauty. And I particularly love that kind of beauty that takes me out of myself, that draws me deeper into a sense of meaning or purpose or of well-being or of wonder, of awe. I've used the word transcendent in a number of my sermons at this evening service over the past couple of years. It's partly because it's a word that seems to resonate with me, particularly during these services. The quality of the music, the poetry, oh, and great setting of the praises and responses this evening, thank you, Char. And the whole setting, the poetry of the liturgy, the beauty of this space and of you people in it, all of this seems to give me a glimpse of something that's more than myself, my own way of seeing the world, my own inward-looking inclinations. These things take us beyond ourselves. I'd say the same about the other services we have during the week too. Not always, particularly when one is facilitating the worship as presider, but often there is a sense of something more, something other, something not nameable in the offering of prayer and worship that makes up our common life together. I said at the start that most of us probably love beauty. But it's not always the case. The Puritan movement, which influenced a lot of the early colonizers who came from Europe to these lands, and which influences much Christian expression, even now, particularly on Turtle Island, North America, the Puritans believed that standards of earthly beauty, which included musical expression, artworks, the visual arts, statuary, stained glass, and more, well, these were a distraction from the true beauty of salvation and of knowing God. I haven't got time to express just how much I disagree with such thoughts, but my friend Cornelia van Voost, a visual artist and a newly appointed artist advocate at St. John's, says, "This suspicion of the arts, particularly of the visual arts, carries on often unconsciously now in many churches in the West." But beauty sustains us. It uplifts us. It inspires us, which means quite literally it breathes spirit into us. And we need it, I'm convinced, in these often difficult and distracted times. And I say this not just as a random observation because I'm feeling like this at the moment, though you might be used to that kind of thing from me by now, but because it's what I believe we're given in our readings for today. Firstly, we have the story from the Hebrew scriptures of Elijah and Elisha, the mythic handing over, literally, of the mantle of the prophet of Israel from one to another, from the venerable Elijah to his protege Elisha, who was not a young person at this time. The verse that Bob stopped the reading at, or the reading is stopped at, it wasn't Bob that chose to do this, actually is the one before Elisha physically takes up the garb of Elijah and carries on the mantle. Elisha is witness to amazing events which resonate with other stories from the Hebrew tradition. The crossing of the river like the original Israelites as the waters part, or the entry into Israel as the waters part beyond the ark, between the ark. Then the vision of chariots and horses of fire as Elijah is assumed in the story up into heaven. These glimpses are glimpses of the beyond, the transcendent, the visionary, and are given, I believe, to sustain Elisha in the calling to speak out for justice, to speak truth to power, to share the divine vision with the people of Israel. For Elijah is very clear when Elisha asks for a double portion of the Spirit. "You have asked a hard thing." Being a spirit bearer is not always a thing of joy and wonder. It's challenging, tiring, and even dangerous to stand up to leaders and rulers who are not fulfilling their obligations to the people. One needs to know that there is something something more, something bigger, in and perhaps beyond this world to sustain us. This theme is continued in our reading from Matthew's Gospel, which made up our second lesson for today. Though the bit which is the super imagery of wonder and glory is the bit we left out because we had it this morning. The section we heard this evening directly follows the verses we had for our morning service and sermon, when Jesus takes his friends, his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, up a mountain, and they have a vision of him transfigured and joined with Elijah and Moses in conversation, representations of Torah, the law, and the prophets of Israel. It's a mind-blowing, awe-inspiring vision of the beyond. Yes, the transcendent, but is immediately followed with an encounter with a father whose son suffers seizures, blaming them upon a demon who longs for healing, and also predictions from Jesus that he is to suffer and to die. They go, the disciples and Jesus go from the sublime, not to the ridiculous, but to the realities, the painful realities of the everyday. In the Lucan version of the Transfiguration, there's an even more striking moment when we are told that the subjects of conversation between Jesus, Moses, and Elijah are the own events he will be part of in Jerusalem. So even within this moment of transcendence, there is a hard reality that Jesus carries. But that's probably a sermon for another day, so I'll stop there. These moments of beauty in music, in art, in dance, in drama, in nature, with family and friends, and even occasionally in church, wherever we encounter them, I believe a gift to sustain us, to nourish our heart and soul, to aid us in our encounters with the gritty realities of the everyday. We might describe them as encounters with the divine, glimpses of God, or even, in Rudolf Otto's phrase, moments of the numinous, the something we can't quite name. I've been thinking a lot about this because our Lenten blog this year is entitled Glimpses of God, and we are inviting people to share in short reflections of up to 400 words a moment or an event when we did indeed encounter one of these numinous moments, these sacred times. Not that these thoughts were meant to just be an extended infomercial for the blog. No, I think it's important for us as we enter into the time of Lent that begins on Wednesday, the discipline of this Lenten period, to remember and reflect on the bigger story of our lives, those things which nourish and sustain us, to hold tight to those things which bring us joy and make us strong and resilient. Beauty, wonder, and I will say it again, transcendence is a gift. And I encourage us all to treat them as such, to open ourselves to where these moments might be in our lives, in the ordinary and in the sublime moments we are given. Thanks be to God. Amen.